Our scripture this morning comes from Philippians, the letter that Paul wrote, the second chapter, beginning with the fifth verse. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you please pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts, they would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say. I think I was 10 years old, and my dad came home one day, and my dad brought us together as a family, and my dad said, God wants us to sell this house. My mother said, well, if God wants us to sell this house, God could have come and told me. She said, well, if God wants us to sell this house, God can do anything. So she was going to make a whole bunch of stipulations. She said, we will not put a for sale sign in the yard. She said, I will not have people traipsing up and through my house looking at it. She said, I will not pay closing costs, and I will not accept anything less than every cent that we asked for. She had all of these stipulations, and I was like, yeah, you go get them, Mom. Because the last thing in the world that I wanted to do was to move. Today is the last Sunday where we've been looking at our church-wide study and the theme, Almost Christmas. And it's based upon a sermon that John Wesley wrote. He preached it in 1741, and it was called Almost Christian. And he talked about people that have all the outward wrappings and the pretty pictures and bows, but they're not quite Christian. He says, we got everything that looks good on the outside, but on the inside, we're missing the grace of God. We're missing what God has for us. We're missing the most important things. And so we've talked about an almost peace. We've talked about an almost joy. And today, I want to talk about an almost hope. An almost hope. Almost hope for me back when I was 10 years old was a hope that things would not change. You ever been there? Just don't want things to change. That things would stay comfortable, that things would stay safe for me. But it's an almost hope because I was more concerned about protecting my comfort than allowing God to produce my character. Can I say that again? I was more concerned about protecting my what? Comfort than about allowing God to produce my character. I came across this saying. I really like it. Can you say it with me? Because easy doesn't change you. Say it one more time with me. Because easy that's the answer when the question is, why is life so hard? Why is life so hard? Because easy doesn't change. God, why are you having me go through this? Because easy doesn't change you. You know, I would love it if we could learn lessons the easy way, but sometimes we got to go through it the hard way, don't we? Sometimes it takes us going through something. It takes us in the midst of a struggle to allow God to really change and do a work within us. On our journey throughout Christmas, we've worked a lot about looking at Jesus, and we've come up with all kinds of different words that we would describe the baby Jesus as. Instead of me telling you all the words that we might say, I'm going to ask if you would help me out here. What are some words that perhaps we describe the baby Jesus as we look at Jesus in the manger? We say Jesus is what? Emmanuel. Silent, holy, Emmanuel. That's right. Small, okay. Innocent, that's right. Adorable, that's exactly right. Anybody else got it? What's that? Cold. That's right. He's cold. Well, I also wrote down some as well. A precious, promised, wonderful, love, hopeful. But there's one that perhaps we wouldn't think about, and this word is dangerous. I wish I could switch places with you and you could see your own expressions. People are like this. Maybe I'm not seeing it right. People literally went like this. Dangerous because you know what? It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit for a baby. It doesn't fit for the precious one that we've been waiting for and the one that has arrived and the one who will come again. And yet today, I want to share with you exactly the reason why I think the word dangerous should fit when we talk about our Jesus. And here's the first reason why I want to say that. It's because Jesus was dangerous to sin and death. Can you read that with me? Jesus was dangerous to sin and death. The Bible says this, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then it goes on to describe our conditions and say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lucifer was horrendously scared. Lucifer thought that he had the plan to send all of us down in the clutches of sin and death to the grave and hell. But Jesus came and snatched us out of Satan's grip. And so therefore he's dangerous. One of the conductors on the Underground Railroad was Harriet Tubman. And Harriet Tubman said this quote, "I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves." That's deep, isn't it? I think Jesus could say something similar. Jesus could say, I freed a billion slaves to sin. I could have freed 1 billion more if they knew that they were slaves. See, a lot of the times we're walking around and we're like that almost Christian. We got the ribbons and the bows. We got the nice clothes on. We got the job, the car, everything. And we think everything is fine. But guess what? We're in the clutches of sin and death being pulled down. And Jesus came. This Jesus is one that we say is precious, small, and cold. He came as a danger that sin and death and snatched us out of the hands. We might have life and have it more abundantly. There's a movie by the name of, I think, Talladega Nights. It's a racing movie. I can't remember the, I just thought about this. This Bobby, what is it? Ricky Bobby is talking, and it's Christmas time. And they're talking about their favorite Jesus. And he says, I love the little baby Jesus. I love the little baby Jesus. But in his mind, the little baby Jesus is completely separated, you know, divorced from the reality that same little baby Jesus that we love to be able to hold, to cuddle, to coo at, to control, to place in the manger and then walk away from is the same one who comes and battles sin and death on our behalf. And we cannot simply turn our backs and then just walk away from him when we're done. It is a powerful thing that he does in our lives. But he does it to set us free. Here's a second thing that I want to say of why I would describe Jesus as dangerous. He was dangerous to the power structures at hand. Dangerous to the power structures at hand. King Herod was the king at time. And the wise men come to King Herod, and King Herod says, please go and find the baby and then come back to me and tell me so that I might do what? Worship him. Is that what he was really going to do? No. Come back and tell me where it is so that I might kill him. So that I might kill him. So we love to tell a story about, Jesus born to me. Everybody was just so happy. The angels came and the shepherds. No, the powers that be at the time of his birth were there to kill him because he threatened them. Our scripture for today from Philippians 2, 10 and 11 says this, that there will come a time that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now here's what you got to think. Herod, way back then, had to have a little piece of this in his mind, because why else would he be so scared? Some part of him knew, wait a minute, this is the Messiah. This is the one who was promised. This is the one that is to be the king. You know, even think fast forward in his life when Jesus came and he was preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God and the powers that be, the Pharisees, the scribes. Did they embrace him? Did they say, oh, you're so wonderful? No, they plotted against him. Why? Because the people were flocking to him and they were scared. It threatened their power. And so they brought up false witnesses against him. They took him to the courts. Caused a riot and incited the people to say, crucify him. Jesus has always been a danger to the power structures that be. And that might be because Jesus' kingdom is the opposite of the kingdom that our leaders often try to form. Jesus' kingdom welcomed the strangers. Jesus' kingdom loved the sinners. Jesus' kingdom valued life and even innocent life. Jesus' kingdom said the first shall be last and the last shall be first, and whoever would be the greatest among you must be the servant of all. This is often counter to what our leaders profess, and it's a critique to how they act. Jesus is not safe to the powers that be. There's a book written by C.S. Lewis called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You've seen that? Heard that? And in this, Mr. Beaver is talking to little Susan, and he says this. He says, Aslan is a lion, the great lion. And Susan says to Mr. Beaver, oh, I thought he'd be a man. Is he quite safe? I should feel rather nervous meeting a lion. Mr. Beaver says, safe? Safe? Of course he's not safe, little girl. He's a lion. But he's good. And he's the king. I love that line because I think that's what it is for us to know that Jesus is king. Is he safe? I'm sorry. I don't think so. I'm sorry if that sounds so crazy, if that sounds so counter, but just think about all the stories in the Bible. He's not safe, but he's good, and he is the king. And for that very reason, there's one last thing that I want to say about Jesus being a danger. Would you read it with me? Jesus is dangerous to our comfort. Jesus is danger to our comfort. Jesus is dangerous to our comfort. We know the saying, Jesus loves you just as you are. And I completely agree with that. Jesus loves you just as you are. And yet, he loves you too much to leave you that way. He loves you as you are, but too much to leave you that way. Michelangelo created a statue. It's a marble statue of the Mother Mary, and she's holding the body of Jesus. And what happened was a deranged man on Pentecost Sunday came into the church where this beautiful statue was, and he attacked the statue with a hammer. 13 blows he hit against the statue before anyone could come and take him away from the front. He damaged the nose of the statue, and he damaged the cheek and the eye, and he broke off one of the arms. And I think there's a picture of that as well. You can see the damage to the face of Mary and the arm that's smashed off. It took artists, more than a dozen artists that came to work on this. It took them years to work and to restore the statue to what it was before. When I think about this, I think about this is what it's like for Jesus in our life, is that Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to restore you. Sin came to hammer you, to destroy you, to kill you. But I'm going to restore you. And Jesus, like those artists, like those sculptors, comes and he begins to remake and remold us into the image of Jesus Christ. And you know what? For us, we're going to be saying things like this. Well, no, that's all right, Jesus. Leave this the way it is because I kind of like this. Or, oh, no, don't chip that much away, right? up. No, keep this. No, Lord, no, this is comfortable. And he's making all these changes in us. And sometimes it's going to hurt. And you know, it's kind of like going back to that quote, because easy doesn't change you. But Jesus will change you. He'll do something within you that you weren't expecting, but we trust that he knows exactly what he's doing. I think that Jesus is dangerous, but so is falling in love. I think that Jesus is dangerous, but so is cheesecake. It's dangerous because Jesus cares more about our character than our comfort, and he'll take us places that we aren't comfortable in going. If you don't believe me, ask Jean Ann Lehman. Some of you know the name of Jean Ann Lehman. She was a Sunday school teacher and asked her Sunday school class to write Christmas cards to prisoners who were in jail. They wrote Christmas cards, and Jean Ann Lehman took the cards to the jail, and it began a journey that God would begin to mold and shape her, and she'd end up being a chaplain in the jails for more than 25 years. You know, that sounds great, but can I tell you something? It's dangerous too. Her husband was murdered by a man who ended up in the very prison that she was at. And so here she is, still going and ministering to the men, and still telling them that God loves them, that God forgives them, telling the men that, telling that man that. Is it comfortable? Is it easy? Does that produce within her a character that is of the same mind of Jesus Christ? Yes. Just ask my cousin, Christina. Christina went to a college at Ball State, and while she was there, she was a part of Christians International. I can't think of the name of it right now. But while she was there, she got more involved in the Bible studies that they were doing and the work. And she decided that God was calling her to be a missionary. She travels to Eastern Asia and spends more than 10 years of her life as a missionary there. Is it easy? Is it safe? No. But does that help to produce within her what God wants? Yes. One last example. There's a church, Riverside Park United Methodist Church, that I pastored. And one day we said, we're going to have a prayer walk. And right after the service was over, we ended the service, and then we all got up and we walked the neighborhood and prayed. We walked up, down, and we're walking on the street back to the church. We're praying, we're singing, and two men out in front of a house are fighting. They're fighting, and you know, the wise, the people of the church, of course, would say, let's go back and let's go the opposite direction, right? That's what the wise, smart people of the church would say, right? No. They said, this is our neighborhood. This is our community. And they went to go and get right in between those young men. What happened is another person who was there had a gun and passed it to another person and said, shoot him. Church that day literally stood in the gap and said, no, not on our block. We're not going to have this. And at the end of the day, we all held hands and prayed together. It was the most amazing thing that I've ever been a part of in my entire life. But can I ask you a question? Was it safe? No. Do you want to go and do it with me? No. If I was ever asked, would you ever do that again? I would say absolutely not. Unless Jesus went with me. If Jesus went with me, if Jesus led and directed me, if he was there in the midst, no weapon formed against me will prosper. If he's there in the midst with me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, with Jesus there with us in the midst, what does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said? Even if he does not save us, we will not bow down to your God. That he has that power, that strength to help us not to be comfortable, but to produce a character that pleases him. I was 10 years old, And my dad came home one day, and my dad said, God wants us to sell the house. And my mother was like, if God wanted us to sell the house, God could have told me. She said, I'm not putting a for sale sign out. She said, I'm not having people tread through the house. She said, I'm not paying the closing cost. And she said, I'm getting every penny that I want for the house. I was like, go get them, Mom, because I didn't want to move. I don't want to move and lose my friends. The very next day, there's a knock on the door. It's a realtor. And he says, I just happen to be in the neighborhood, and I got a family that really loves this house. And my mother is the one who answered the door. And she said, oh, Lord. She said, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this, all the list. And they said, okay. And they offered more than what she was even asking. Can I tell you, I was devastated that we had to move. I was devastated. We moved. I thought that that's how the story went until last month. I'm on a Neelite trip with my mother, and my mother tells me the part of the story that I forgot. What happened was, my dad came home and said, God wants us to sell this house and give the money to the church. God miraculously opens the door for the sale to happen. My parents give the money to the church. We move, and in 2 months, the church burns down. My parents used that money for the down payment on the new church and inspired others with that story to build the new church. I never knew. So here I am from a 10-year-old's point of view looking at this as, oh, look how terrible this is. But if I could see only through my father's eyes, he saw a miracle in the making. I don't pray for us to be safe. I don't pray for us to be comfortable. I pray for us to look with our Father's eyes. Amen. Amen.